The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to my program, Afternoons with Mike, heard around the Shepherd Radio Network. It is that great honor of mine to bring back a friend who's not been up here in the studio since the very early days of the pandemic. My goodness, that feels like 5 years ago, but it wasn't. It was just about a year and a half ago, though. And we were talking about it back then, and yet not in the same way, because shortly after you were here, it all broke loose. We all had to go home. The lockdown happened. But on that day, I had Tim Kaufman come up, and he is back here with me today. Singer extraordinaire, a minister of music, and a wonderful guy. Welcome back, Tim.
Great to be back, and great to be on a lot of the other side of what we've all gone through this last year and a half.
Yeah, this has not been what any of us ever thought it would have been. I mean, I go back all the time thinking those first words we heard, two weeks to flatten the curve.
Exactly. 15 days to flatten the curve, right?
Flatten the curve.
And that turned into what?
Yeah, well, the curve ended up being like a wrecking ball that fell on America. That's what that happened.
Yeah, it sure has. And the world.
Yeah, and then, you know, shortly after your first visit here, you came back because you, and we talked about on that one, what you do with your helping people who have gone through some difficult times, counseling and all. And I know that I enjoyed that one equally as well. But for a little bit of a reminder for those that don't know that you're a singer, tell them a little bit. Tell our listeners about what you've done in the past.
Well, I began singing probably, I guess I would say semi-seriously when I was about 14, 15 years of age. Got to college at Cedarville University, Cedarville College then. And then after 3 years, I spent 5 years with Word of Life, and that's really when the official career took off. Traveled with Jack Wurtson, the Word of Life Singers. Then I became the director of music at the Word of Life Bible Institute. And but ever since I was a kid singing in a gospel quartet, I always wanted to be on the road. That began with Word of Life, and then in 1982, the year after my wife Alicia and I were married, we hit the road in 1982, and I was on the road for 22 years, 50 weekends a year I was gone. When our family started with twin daughters in 1985, Alicia told me to go on the road by myself because she had a couple other things to do.
Yeah, just a few other things
to do. And so we moved to Florida in 1989 and established the base of operation here. At that time, I was singing for In Touch, Charles Stanley's ministry, got introduced to Adrian Rogers and sang a few times up at Bellevue. So it was a good ride. I got to sing in 10 countries, 6 languages, record 11 albums. So really, Mike, I got to live my dream, and I'm just a blessed man beyond beyond what I should be.
Well, the last time you were here, we were talking about some of your recordings, and we played several of them in those two times that you were with us. And I just love your voice. I love the heart. And I even got to watch some of the videos when you were doing that with Dr. Stanley. And that was pretty cool to get to see all of that. I know you had a lot of fun doing all of that.
I really did, especially going overseas and learning different cultures, learning a language. I remember I was invited to sing in the country of Hungary, and I was living in D.C. at the time. I found a lady from Budapest, and she became my tutor and taught me how to phonetically sing 3 songs in Hungarian. And I went over to Budapest and sang in the Budafalk Baptist Church. And I had a couple of songs in English that I had translated on an old oh, what was the overhead projector?
Oh, yeah.
And I put those up on the wall,
the
and I sang in English, and it was nice, and it was very polite. They were, but the third song I sang, I started singing His Name Is Wonderful in Hungarian.
In their tongue.
In their tongue, mm-hmm. and the entire church just moved in. I mean, it was like it was almost like that commercial where when E.F. Hutton talks,
everyone listens.
They just physically moved in, the smiles, the demeanors. And I said at that moment, I will never again sing in English if I'm in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do the work that it takes to learn the tongue, to communicate, because I saw that Hungarian is extremely difficult, and most people don't even attempt to learn it when they go. Whether they're singing, whether they're speaking, missionaries wash out a lot because it's just a very, very hard language. And I've had many missionaries in Hungary confirm that for me. But they said, when you took the effort to just learn something, that spoke to them.
And you had the dictation coaching that really made that extra special. I mean, sometimes people, they'll learn out of a book or listening to some recording of another person, and it lacks the reality of what your diction coach that you were able to work with.
Her name was Judith Kinez, and I can still remember I would walk into her apartment, and I would record all of these sessions on a cassette tape. But we would sit down and we'd small talk, and then she would always say, "All right, team, let's get started."
Oh, my goodness.
It was such a heavy accent, she drilled me and drilled me and drilled me to where I could finally sing. She says, "You sound like someone who has learned Hungarian, but you have a good enough accent. Go sing."
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to go with confidence.
That's great. What a treat that must have been to watch them lean into your song and to realize how much it was touching their own heart.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, that's great. How did you learn to do all of this?
You know, musicians have a pretty good ear. Just that's one of the blessings that comes with being a musician. If you can hear something, oftentimes you can reproduce it. And it goes the same way with piano players, with guitar players. You're mm-hmm. an accomplished guitar player. You can hear something. And if you have some basic foundational understanding of what it is you do, you can then go and expand on it based on the good foundation that you have. And when I went to Portugal, I was able to replicate the language. I was able to learn the language. In fact, one of the drawbacks was I spoke so well early, but I had extreme difficulty in understanding. For most people, it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. They understand before they speak. I was speaking before I could really understand. And so people would actually get frustrated with me because I would speak this Portuguese language to them with clarity. And, you know, it still had an American accent, but it sounded a little American, a little Brazilian. And in Portugal, and then they would say something to me and I wouldn't get it.
Well, I get that exactly, because I could do the same in German. But when they would actually speak, they do the same to their dialect that we Americans do. And it becomes maybe a little varied, let's say, from the book part of that language. And I was lost on it.
And you're a musician.
Yeah.
So you were duplicate. You were imitating sooner than you were understanding.
Yeah.
That is a typical musician thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but that was exactly right. We met some German people down in, I guess it was Sanibel, and I was so excited, and I was talking with them because they got all bright eyed, and then I let them down.
I know the feeling. Yeah. I know the feeling.
It didn't take long, and they thought, okay, this guy's a joke. This is not going to work. He's not what we thought we were getting here. Well, you're here today partly because of this a wonderful event that we've already heard about. I recently had Thurlow Spurr on my program, And he was talking about a big event that is going to be the, I believe it is going to be Orlando's, the Christmas event of the month of December. And it is something that I just want to encourage everybody. If you can be there on December the 3rd at 3 p.m. at Calvary Orlando, it is going to be an unbelievable program called Christmas Is. And we've already heard Thurlow's description of it. And my dear friend, Bob Pickett, is going to be coming in, and he's from St. Louis now. But he used to be at Calvary himself, and he was the worship leader for their young adult ministry back in the day. And he was also Thurlow's right-hand man with Festival of Praise. And he is coming back in for this event. And I don't know what all Bob will be doing. I'm hoping to get him up here on the 2nd. I'm hoping for that, and maybe have him on. But you got involved in this. And I'd love for you to tell the story of how all this happened.
Yeah, just a quick correction. It's December 4th Saturday. You said December 3rd. That's okay.
December 4th.
December 4th at 3 p.m. And I hope everybody can go to thurlowspur.com and get tickets. T-H-U-R-L-O-W, and then spur is S-P-U-R-R, thurlowspur.com. Look for Christmas Is. And yes, about 6 weeks ago, my phone rang. And I was asked to audition for this program. They were looking for someone to sing some tenor parts and do some acting. And so I've always heard of Thurlow Spur. I was yes. listening to his stuff in the 60s when I was a kid.
Yes.
I remember the movie that he produced, Face the Music. And I remember watching that in a youth Sunday night group. And so I've always known about Thurlow Spur. I've always admired his work from afar. And then here to be sitting down at his kitchen table with Thurlow and Kathy, and then to audition for them.
Oh, you auditioned at his kitchen table?
At his kitchen table.
Oh, my goodness.
Went down to their house down near the Orlando airport, and Alicia went with me. And so we just fast became friends in addition to that. And Kathy just looked at me and said, okay, you're playing the part of Peter, and you'll be doing this song and this song. And, you know, I think I'm going to put you on this song. And I went, whoa, 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 whoa. What? How much time do I have to learn
right.
this? And
it's not like you can do all of this reading a chart or whatever. You've got to have this all down.
Yeah, this is not, you know, we're not going to have prompting monitors.
Right.
We're not going to have... let's run that again. It's an old fashioned, you got to know it. You got to know it cold, and you get one shot at it because we're doing a 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. deal, but boy, it's going to be good. It's going to be big.
Oh, I know it. Everything that I know about this event, it's going to be big from the moment people get out of their cars.
Yes.
Because they've got the Salvation Army Orchestra that's going to be playing outdoors under the overhang at Calvary. And then when they go inside, when people who are there go inside on the 4th, they're going to hear Walter Rodriguez Jr., who is an unbelievably trained classical guitar player. And if you think you know what I'm talking about, believe me, it's going to be more than what I can even describe in terms of his talent. He plays finger style, so he plays all different kinds of songs. Amazing, amazing guitar player. A violinist that I'm not familiar with, but you know who that would be.
Lori Jean Smith. I have listened to Lori probably for 20 years. I was first introduced to her at a Steve Green concert. She was backing up mm-hmm. Steve and his pianist, and then she played on his tracks. And at the time, she was very involved at the First Baptist Orlando Orchestra. And since, she's been around a lot doing different events. I was able to get her booked into some with some other friends. I have listened to Lori Jean for 20 years. I have yet to hear her make a mistake.
Now, that's saying a lot.
And I am listening for a mistake, mm-hmm. and I have yet to hear a mistake by her.
And that's on an instrument that is not fretted.
Oh.
It is an instrument that if there could be anything that could go wrong. It usually does very at one point or another.
Yeah, very unforgiving instrument.
It produces a squeak that makes most parents' eyes just instantly cross, you know, when that happens. But
this instrument is such a part of her, and she is such a part of it. And she's going to be playing everything from formal orchestral to hoedown. We've got a number in that is kind of a real country number, and she's going to be playing backup on that, and the violin is just it's fun.
That's wonderful. Now, one of the parts, again, that you're excited about, and we're all excited about as we hear this, is the fact that it brings not only great music together, but there's some acting involved as you portray some of the scenes. And it's actually almost like a reunion type of a thing of a biblical, epic, biblical proportion when some of these players get back together, obviously, and talk about some of the things that happened, right?
That is Act 2 of the program. Act 1 is kind of an all season, not all season. We have some secular Christmas tunes. We also have a section where I'm going to be singing a song called Heroes, and we're going to have first responders. We're going to have doctors, nurses, police people, fire, all of the branches of military are going to be represented. My wife, Alicia, is actually working on that right now, getting the personnel lined up for that. And I'll be singing this dedicatory song, Heroes, to them. And of course, we're going to have people in the audience stand up who are part of first responders. Then in Act 2, we go into Act 2, and it's kind of like a 5 or 6 years after the resurrection reunion of people who were at the manger or at the stable in Bethlehem. The disciples are going to be there. Peter, James, and John actually get together. I'm playing the part of Peter, and the three of us are actually going to do a song together after we do a little bit of the drama to set up the song. And it's the old Italian song, O Sole Mio, that the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, took that tune and rewrote the words and called it Down From His Glory.
Now, this is not the group that is going to be there, but you guys will sound just like this, and it is going to be marvelous. So this is the song that we're talking about, and it is Down From His Glory. Unfortunately, due to internet licensing restrictions, we're not able to play this song. That is just an unbelievable song, and we're up against a break right now with Tim Kaufman today. We're going to be back with Tim coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Welcome back. I'm so happy to have Tim Kaufman here in the studio with me today. Tim is a singer extraordinaire and is going to be involved in this big event that's happening. Thurlow was real clear to call it not a concert, but an event, because it is going to be a complete sensory exploding kind of a day. People will get out of their cars. They're going to hear amazing orchestral music when they are walking into the church building. They get inside, they hear a great guitar playing, holiday-ish all the way through, and then they go up the escalator at Calvary, and they hear this lady that you've just described in our last section on violin, and then they get inside the auditorium. And this is just going to be like a major production.
It really is. It's very typical of a Thurlow Spur event. He's been doing these things since the 1960s.
Yes, he has.
When I was auditioning at his kitchen table, I sat there and I said, all right, Thurlow. I said, I know we've only met for the first time today. I said, but I have to ask, how old are you?
Mm-hmm.
87.
Yes.
87, still sharp as a tack, still putting on these kinds of gala events. And I just shook my head and I said, oh, Lord. You know, the word says that our days are 70, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. And I thought, this guy's well into overtime.
Yeah, that's what he talked about while he was up here. He even said, I am in overtime.
Did he?
He brought that up in the meeting when I was with him in the interview. And I just am shocked at how, like you said, how sharp he is. But not only that, I mean, he's still doing it. He's still out there making music. And he's an inspiration for all musicians when you think about it. But it's not every day, and I know you feel the same way, it's not every day that you get to meet your musical heroes.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like when I had him up here in the studio. He's one of my musical heroes. I've loved this guy. Then, of course, I got to tell him the story of going to PTL back in 1982. And my wife and I had just lost a child, and we were wanting a getaway. So we were going to a conference in Pinehurst, North Carolina, and spent a couple of days early at what back then was the big PTL, this massive venue and kind of like an attraction, really, back mm-hmm. in that day. But they had the PTL club, and Thurlow was their music director.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to watch him actually in the studio there at PTL and watch him get to do this. And what a treat that was.
Well, I'll tell you something else about Thurlow Spurr. He has a real burden for the lost. We've had several conversations, and he is so committed to the presentation of the gospel mm-hmm. in everything that he's a gospel man.
Mm-hmm. He is. And you can tell that even that heart and that motivation was behind why he wanted to take music the way he did,
mm-hmm.
because he saw it in the kind of the secular presentation everywhere, and it would be excellent, but yet so many of our churches were not pushing for that same level of excellence, and there just wasn't. He knew that the message of the gospel was the greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
And if there ever needs to be something that's excellent, it needs to be music that has to do. And again, going back to the word legendary, he was legendary in impact upon contemporary Christian music.
I tell people that Thurlow Spurr was Truth before there was Roger Breland and Truth.
Mm-hmm. He was.
Yeah.
Spurlow's.
He was a trailblazer.
He was. And he helped bring along not only a genre that is now become so loved across the world, but he also paid the price for introducing a style mm-hmm. into the church that wasn't universally accepted.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The worship wars were happening a long time before the 90s.
That's right. That's well said, Tim. And anyone that has never heard the term worship wars, I invite you to Google that one and find a little bit about it, because they're still going on.
Oh, yes.
In this day, they're still going on.
Yeah. And
whether or not auditorium lights should be at full blast or darkened a little bit, and whether or not you should have a back wall that is LED and all of those kinds of questions, that's going on and probably will go on until the Lord returns.
It will.
We'll find out it really didn't make that much difference.
We're gonna find out. I wonder what heaven's acoustics and pizzazz is going to be like. But anyway, this program that Thurlow and Kathy and their team have put together, I was delighted to find out that Jerry Nelson is part of the production team. He's the pianist, the music director under Thurlow's purview, but Jerry is putting all the orchestration together. Met Jerry a few years ago in Colorado Springs when I was part of an entourage out there. It's going to be fun getting together with Jerry again. Haven't seen him for a couple of years. And the excellence of the musicians that are coming. Terry Winch is going to be a part of that as well. He is he's the guy that orchestrated and produced my last album in 1999, and then he and I did a two-song project together in 2009. The level of excellence that is in this program, I'm just blown away.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe how many people are coming together in one. This does not happen every day.
No.
Where you see a program that is this extensive. Now, we did in Gainesville when I was at Abundant Grace, we did and we're fortunate to bring in a lot of groups. But this is an extravaganza that is rare when you've got so many people that are all this gifted, this talented, and they're bringing in, they've got a petting zoo out there for the kids. It's going to be a great day. It is December the 4th at 3 p.m. at Calvary Orlando. Now, you brought in another song, and I want you to set that up for us. We're going to play that one.
Well, I want to encourage people to go to thurlowspur.com to get tickets. But this opening song of Act 2, it's simply called Down in Bethlehem. And let me just open up with the first line by Micah. And by the way, Micah is played by Aaron Odom. Aaron is the current music director at First Baptist Church of Mount Dora. He studied at Juilliard. I have done tenor duets with him, and I look at him and I say, now you know you're taking the top part, don't you? Because
yeah.
I am not a tenor anymore. I'm a lyric baritone, but he can just bring it down. Well, he begins Act 2 with, "Greetings, my friends. My name is Micah, and I'm the innkeeper here, and I'd like to welcome you back to the Bethlehem Inn. This is the place where our lives were changed forever. This is my wife, Miriam, who was the one that insisted we had to find a room for the child to be born." And Miriam says, "Actually, we should have let Mary and Joseph have our room instead of offering them the barn." And it goes on. They have a little bit of banter.
That's great.
And then we go into this song that basically tells the story of what took place that night. It's a men's chorus backing up Micah, the innkeeper, who was telling the story of that night in song.
Okay, here it is. Let's listen. "Unfortunately, due to internet licensing restrictions, we're not able to play this song. Come and see what is happening in the barn." That is so much fun, and it's really great to be here in the studio and listening to Tim sing along with this amazing recording that we have for this. But I think it is important to point out that unlike what happens in a lot of musical events in this day and age, tracks are not going to be used. All the music, all of what we just heard right there is going to be played live along with these amazing singers.
It'll be tracks and live.
Okay.
So there'll be a mix between it. So you'll have a bed
yes.
of track, but you'll have live musicians playing live. And it's the best of both worlds.
Oh, that's great.
And we are, we're just excited because to pull something like this off, you've got to have really good people at every station in the production. You've got to have excellent technicians. You've got to have excellent lighting. You've got to have excellent players. You've got to have excellent singers. And everybody that's in this is top drawer. It's so exciting. And I really feel it's almost like at my age, getting invited into something like this, it's like the Lord's just saying, yeah, I still got a few things for you to do.
Well, that's because you still have your chops, my man. You're still there. You've got it going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm having to work for some of those chops on some of those notes right now. You know how a prize fighter will just kind of be stay in maintenance shape, you know, and then all of a sudden he's got a big gig and he goes into 90 to 120 days. Well, I tell you what, Mike, I'm singing probably an hour and a half a day to 2 hours a day right now, just to try to make sure that I've got those high notes and I've got the stamina, because I don't, at 68, I don't recover like I used to.
Well, I get it. I know that. You and I are both the same age.
Yep.
In fact, I've got you just by a few months, but
old man.
That's exactly right. No, seriously, this is really going to be an event of the season, and it is called Christmas Is. And the website, in case you'd like to see about this, is christmasis.us. And that is, in Thurlow's words, Christmas is us. You got to think of it that way. Christmasis.us. And it's going to be at Calvary Orlando, right there on I-4 near the Fairbanks Curve, and it's going to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on December the 4th. And it will be worth it. Believe me, you can get your tickets and bring the kids because they're going to have a petting zoo outside, just all sorts. It's like, again, a sensory overload that day.
You know, I didn't know the petting zoo was going to be there, yeah. So my granddaughter is going to be thrilled.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And not only that, but again, the music by, you mentioned Booth earlier, who wrote that one song mm-hmm. back in segment one, but the Salvation Army Orchestra will be playing outside. And this young man, if no one has ever heard him, named Walter Rodriguez Jr., he's from Miami, and he is a guitar player. That he's just amazing, and he plays jazz style, finger style, you name it, he can play it, and he's going to be doing it live in the kind of like the lobby at Calvary that day. You're not going to want to miss this, friends, believe me. My guest today is Tim Kaufman. Tim, we've got a few minutes before we wrap up this next segment, take a break, and then we'll be back for one more segment. You know, when you look back over the things that you've done, this truly is a real privilege to be a part of something like this, I'm sure.
It really is. Things like this don't come along. This is not an everyday type of event. And you said earlier that this is going to be the Central Florida Christmas event of the year. I really believe that. The pandemic has affected so many churches and their efforts. Some of the churches have older congregants, and I think of First Baptist Orlando. This is the second year that they're not doing the living Christmas trees. They do have some alternative outreaches that they're doing with their choir, but the trees, which draw, you know, 4,000, 5,000 people per performance, is not going to be. So this is the event for Central Florida this mm-hmm. Christmas season. And I just want to encourage everyone to tell your friends, tell your neighbors, if you have anyone that you're wanting to get them under the sound of the gospel. Last night, my wife, Alicia, once a month, she has a...
Well, let me interrupt you on okay. that. Let's take a break right now. We'll hear that story coming up in a moment. My guest today is Tim Kaufman, and this is Afternoons with Mike. Back again here with Tim Kaufman. Tim is part of this big program, and I hated to come right there to the end of that last segment having to interrupt him, but finish that thought, what you were telling us, my man.
Well, every month my wife has a business networking dinner that she puts on at our home. And I was looking around the table because she is an evangelist. She loves getting people under the sound of the gospel. She witnesses, she gives tracts out, and she invites people to church. And already this year, she's seen three of her friends come to faith in Jesus Christ at our church. And I'm looking around the table and I'm seeing, okay, there's one, there's two. Those people are going to be coming and they don't know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 10 of us around the table last night, and two of them, and all of them are coming to the program. Two of them will hear the gospel very creatively. And we'll be able to then follow up with a conversation afterwards. So I just want to encourage everybody that if you have a family member, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, and you've been wondering, how could I witness to them? How could I share with them? Invite them to this program. And then all you have to do after they attend the program is have them over or say, what did you think of the program? And see where the Holy Spirit takes it. He'll lead you into a conversation where you can perhaps lead them in a prayer to receive Christ if they don't at the event itself.
What a joyous day that would be if they came and did just that, prayed to receive the Lord. And that's what we can expect, you know.
Yeah.
In this day and age, Tim, I go back to, you know, the kind of like the kind of an attitude that's fallen on a lot of people. There's a lot of depression. There's a lot of kind of just maybe being a little bit leery of the holidays this year mm-hmm. because of the fact that this corona effect has impacted so many things in so many people. But the truth of it is that even in a time like today, a day like today, the greatest story, the greatest impact, the greatest news that could ever come is the gospel of Jesus.
I love the gift of the arts that God has given to us. Just look at the success of The Chosen, the television
yes.
series special, season one, season two, and now they've got this Christmas movie coming out, and it's already exceeding all the expectations because people are hungry. They want to hear the gospel in its unfiltered way, and the arts are a way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And the arts can do that in this uniquely creative way that is a mix of just like this is the best thing musically that you can imagine. This is so joyous. It's an event. It's in the holidays. This is like the perfect storm of wonderful things.
Oh, it really is.
And that's what that can be.
Yeah, it really is. You know, when I look at, I'm sitting here across from you looking at the two-sided little handout that they've got. And you've got a Raggedy Ann doll, you've got musicians, you've got a chorus, you've got soloists, you've got live instrumentalists. And like I said, all of these people of excellence coming mm-hmm. together. I can hardly wait because one of the things, you remember how we used to, did you play any sports in high school?
Only, unfortunately, not for my high school, but in other groups, yes, but not for high school.
Well, we used to have a saying that if you play with trash, you play like trash. That's kind of crass, but you always wanted to play somebody a little bit better than you because
yes.
it caused you to up your game.
Yeah.
And the fact that all of these excellent musicians are coming together, everybody's going to have their A game on in an excited way, not in a competitive
right.
way, but they're just excited to be playing and to be singing and performing and ministering with people who are like-minded, but have excellence written all over them. And it's just, I can hardly wait for the Thursday night rehearsal. We're going to rehearse Thursday night, again, Friday night, then the performance, one performance mm-hmm. on Saturday, the 4th at 3 p.m. And I'm looking so forward to the rehearsals.
You know, when I think about once and done type of events like this, you know, there's a part if you do something like Broadway and you open, there's going to be a season.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a week. It might be 2 weeks. It might be longer if it runs longer. But there's more than one performance. But this is if you miss it, you've missed it.
Yeah.
So that's why people need to really realize that this is something very special. I went to an event with some of the great singers in Christian music here in Orlando. It was called Emmanuel years ago, and it was at the old arena, the Orlando Arena.
Yes.
Sandy Patty, Larnell Harris, Amy Grant was there, and it was just a marvelous night. And up until that time, that was one of, in my mind, and to this day still is, one of the most fun productions at Christmas time that I've ever attended in my entire life. And that's saying a lot of productions right there, but it was great. I think this is going to be in that caliber.
I believe so. And I think that people, if you're on the fence about what do I do, should I go to this, just come, but be sure to bring someone
mm-hmm.
because this is a great way to share your faith.
Yeah. You know, Tim, in our remaining time, I know you, as we mentioned earlier, do and have studied a lot of really how to emotionally respond in our life and helping people to do that with counseling and depression and the things that a lot of people are going through in this day and age. What is your take on the impact that we've seen here in America with this coronavirus, the pandemic, in this area of our emotional well-being?
Well, I know, Mike, that I have I've given away in PDF format a lot of copies of my book in the last 12 months, 15 months. I have gotten requests from people. They've gone to my website, mm-hmm. timkaufmanministries.com, and they have gotten my book. which they can. But if someone is financially unable, if they will just inbox me at my website, Kaufman is K-A-U-F-M-A-N, so timkaufmanministries.com. If you'll inbox me, I'll be happy to send you a free copy of my book, Singing Hallelujah When You Feel Like Hell.
Mm-hmm.
I went through two clinical depressions. I decided after the second one to write about it because I got the right help. I got the medication. But we have seen an increase dramatically. People talk about all the deaths that have taken place from the virus itself, but little is said about all the deaths of people who have taken their lives because of hopelessness, because of loss of job, loss of purpose, loss of meaning. And this has taken a toll, and it will be exacerbated at this time of year because the holidays tend to bring out the best and bring out the worst.
Yeah, the holidays are often the one time of the year where these things peak.
Yes.
These problems, because the very thing that you've talked about hopelessness and depression, you know, not trying to be a Debbie Downer here at all on this, but the truth of it is we're approaching that season where many people dread.
Yeah.
And it's so sad to realize that what the pandemic has done is it's caused people to even be more secluded,
mm-hmm.
more shut down, and more depressed in many instances. They don't have the joy of the Lord that you're talking about. Just even thinking about some of these songs and the joy of this event and the fun of this event. But all of those things, you know, a merry heart does good like medicine, the Bible talks about. And this event is going to do so many great things that we're talking about that can help people even in this holiday season.
We have to fight for our joy, and we have to look for those opportunities that will help us. Somebody said to me during my depression, if you don't have the faith right now, lean on my faith. And that was a word that was fitly spoken. And they were non-condemning. They said, hey, I'm here. I believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you're going to get through this. My father went through a depression, a serious, serious depression. And a man from our church who was a deacon came and visited him in the hospital and said, Ted, you probably believe that you're never going to get out of this bed. You probably believe that you're never going to have another happy day. But he said, you're going to get well. You're going to get out of this bed because 6 years ago I was in this same bed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're going to get on the other side of this. And I want to tell everybody out there that we can win over any coronavirus. We can win over any depression. But you have to fight for it, and you have to look for those opportunities, and you have to lean into people who can help you.
You know, I think that's one of the big problems why people get trapped in this is they lose sight of the fact that they can make it. They're convinced they can't.
Right.
And yet it's so helpful, and I believe that's what every friend can be to somebody who's going through this, to look at them and say, you're going to make it.
Yeah.
I was there. You're going to make it. And boy, that just makes all the difference in the world. I was telling friends the other night about an incident that happened, and I don't have time to tell the whole story right now. But I helped save my dad, by God's grace, from drowning. We capsized in the middle of a lake, and it was a bizarre accident. It's worth telling at some point. But I pulled my dad up out of the water somehow, and got him to our boat. And then, but a neighbor who had seen it all happen yelled across the lake, hey, are you okay? And ironically, hearing that guy's voice did something in kind of like waking up something in my dad, who was 80 years old and was very weak, almost drowned. And it revived him to the point where it gave him hope that we're going to get out of this. And sometimes just a yelling across the water or looking at a friend across a table and saying, you're going to make it, can actually be medicine like nobody's business.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
I believe it. Wow, this is really going to be a great day. Tim, what are you guys doing? What's life been like, or will it be like when this event's over for you?
Well, when this event is over, Alicia and I have become very, very involved in our new church. We wanted to be closer. We wanted to have a local church, and we found one about 10 minutes away from us. I'm telling everybody, Alicia's telling everybody about Lake Mary Church.
Mm-hmm.
Our pastor is Egyptian. His name is Shaddy Solomon, and we have jumped in with both feet there. I've done a little bit in the music program. I'm probably going to be more involved in the music program after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Alicia is just bringing people right and left and getting them involved. We're seeing friends saved and baptized, and there's something very special going on at this fellowship.
That's wonderful. Good news. And we pray for them and pray for all of our churches, because this is a time. I do believe that one of the silver linings to this whole coronavirus can be an awakening where people realize what's really important in their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. God is purifying his church, not only in America, but around the world. And I don't know if we'll ever see another worldwide or national revival, but I know that the church is being prepped and prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of people, they're sharpening their sword.
That's right. Because the day is coming, and the Lord is going to win all of this, and we know how that chapter ends.
Yes.
Tim Kaufman, my guest today, the event that we've been talking about is called Christmas Is, and you can go to their website, christmasis.us, and read all about it, read about the singing, the events, the special guests that are coming in. It's going to be fabulous.
And there's a great video there that they can see that is kind of like a trailer.
All right. That's it. Christmasis.us. Tim, thanks for coming in. It's great to see you, my friend.
You too, Mike. Every time we get together, it's a delight.
Well, thank you. And friends, we'll see you next time right here on The Shepherd.